भूमेर्वित्तस्य स्त्रियो मानस्य तेजसः मानिनोऽन्यस्य वा हेतुः श्रीमदान्धः क्षिपन्ति हि राजस्य भूमेर्वित्तस्य स्त्रियो मानस्य तेजसः मानिनोऽन्यस्य वा हेतुः श्रीमदान्धः क्षिपन्ति हि राजस्य भूमेर्वित्तस्य स्त्रियो मानस्य तेजसः मानिनोऽन्यस्य वा हेतुः किंगडम लैंड वेल्थ विमेन ऑनर एंड पावर परपोर्ट लॉर्ड कृष्णा वॉज ओरिजिनली मेंट टू मैरी रुक्मिणी अलॉन्ग विथ दिस वॉज द बेस्ट अरेंजमेंट फॉर ऑल कंसर्न्ड ऑल अलॉन्ग दिस वॉज द बेस्ट अरेंजमेंट फॉर ऑल कंसर्न्ड एंड येट फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग रुक्मी वॉज मेलिशियस एंड ही वॉज अपोज्ड टू दिस ब्यूटिफुल अरेंजमेंट When his sister's desire was finally fulfilled and she was taken by Krishna, he viciously attacked the Lord with vulgar insults and mortal weapons. In return, Lord Krishna tied him up and partially clipped his hair and mustache, while certainly humiliating for a puffed up prince like Rukmi, his punishment was a mere slap on the wrist. Considering what he had done. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे अगेन बलराम अड्रेस्ड कृष्णा ब्लाइंडेड बाय कंसीट विद देयर पर्सनल ऑपुलेंसेस प्राउड मैन ऑफेंड अदर्स फॉर द सेक ऑफ सच थिंग्स एज किंगडम लैंड वेल्थ विमेन ऑनर एंड पावर So we are still reading the section of the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. The Phalastuti for this pastime, it has been mentioned That anybody who hears this pastime is blessed with name, wealth, liberation and devotion. So this is the result of listening to this wonderful narration of the transcendental pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna. We are reading a very important canto, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. As it is said in the Padma Purana, Namami Devam Karunanidhanam Tamalavaranam Suhitavataram Apara Samsara Samudra Setum Bhajamahe Bhagavata Swarupa. That I offer my respectful obeisances, Namami Devam Karunanidhanam, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ocean of mercy. Tamalavaranam Suhitavatara. And the color, the complexion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is darkish like the color of a tamal tree. Tamalavaranam Suhitavataram. And he incarnates for the welfare of the conditioned souls in this world. So, Apara Samsara Samudra Setum. And especially his incarnation in the form of this book, this granth of Srimad Bhagavatam, is especially unique because it acts like a bridge between the material world and the spiritual world. Apara Samsara Samudra Setum. This material world and the illusions of this world, the temptations of this world are so enormous. It's like a vast ocean. Apara Samsaram. It's impossible to cross over the illusions of this world. But however, if one takes shelter of this incarnation of the Lord in the form of this book, Apara Samsara Samudra Setum Bhajamahe Bhagavata Swarupam. So this is the form of the Lord. This is directly Lord Shri Krishna. Non-different from Shri Krishna. The Lord has different forms, different incarnations. Come to the temple, we take darshan of the Lord in the form of His deities. We sit and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is another form of the Lord, in the form of His pastimes. Then we sit and chant the Lord's holy names. The Lord is present in the form of His holy names. So these are all different. Therefore it is so important to read Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is so important to spread the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is so important to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam, as in this month of Gita Jayanti, so many devotees are coming together to do book marathon. So it is indeed a very, very glorious activity to distribute the message of Bhagavatam and Krishna consciousness. And also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important canto is the 10th canto. And we are reading from that section. So here we can see the words spoken by Balaram to Shri Krishna in the mode of chastisement. Spoken within the earshot of Rukmini so that she can hear, because in her mind she is thinking that my brother has been chastised unnecessarily. It was not necessary. So therefore, in order to pacify her, because she is a new bride and it's important to welcome in a very nice way. So Balaram is a little concerned that what she may be feeling. So in order to pacify her, he's coming and chastising Krishna that you should not have given such a severe punishment of humiliating such a great Kshatriya, especially Kshatriyas are known for their, you know, for the egos of being very powerful. Prestige is very important to a Kshatriya. And if you insult a Kshatriya, especially what Krishna has done to Rukmi, shaving the mustache and shaving off his head like that, it is a very, very serious offense. And for a Kshatriya, that is worse than death. So knowing this, Balaram is trying to pacify Rukmini. Because Rukmini is very soft-hearted lady, as we can see that when she wrote the letter to Shri Krishna, so she welcomed Shri Krishna. She said that I am shamelessly expressing my heart to you. I am in love with you. And it may be considered uncouth, shameless, because I am expressing my love openly like that. But you please come and kidnap me. Shobhavini tvam ajitodvahane vidarbhan gupta samitya prithana pativihi paritaha nirmatya chaidya magadendra balam prasaiya mam rakshasena vidhinodvah virishulka. So you please come with your generals, with your army, secretly, and defeating the armies of Jarasandh and Shishupal, who are demoniac people, you may even kill them if it's needed, and kidnap me in the Rakshasa style. So Rakshasa style of marriage, there are many forms of marriage. It is not a very high standard. There are higher, more civilized form of choosing a wife. But here we can see that Rukmini, being a devotee, she's doing whatever is necessary in order to secure her Krishna consciousness. She's willing to cause the death of these sinful people like Jarasandha and Shishupal, but she doesn't want her own people. Therefore she is saying that. Nirmatya, Chaidya, Maghadendra, Balam Prasahiya. These people can be killed, but... And then she writes, Antapurantara Charim Anihatya Bandhu Tvam Udvahe Kathamidhi Pravadam Upayam. That if you are thinking that how can I come amongst all of you people and amongst your family members, and how can I kidnap you without causing the death of your own people? And then she says that, don't worry. Purvedurasti mahati kuladeva yatra yasyam bahir navavadum girija upeyat. So when I am going to the temple of Durga, at that time you can kidnap me. That time my relatives will not be there. It will be a situation of least bloodshed. So you can come there. So we can see in the life of a devotee may do whatever is necessary to secure his Krishna consciousness. A devotee may do whatever is necessary and sometimes even go to the extent of giving up his relatives. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Guru na sasyat, Swajuno na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, Janani na sasyat, Devam na sasyat, Pati na sasyat, na mochit yaha samupitya mrityum. That a devotee may even go up to the extent of abandoning his guru. Guru na sasyat, Swajuno na sasyat. He even goes to the extent of abandoning his relatives, his father, his mother, his any god, or his husband, her husband, anyone he is ready to give up for securing his Krishna consciousness. So we can see that quality. So she is very shrewd lady. She is shameless, and a devotee is shameless. When it comes to practicing Krishna consciousness, he is shameless. So you can see that, that Rukmini is also shamelessly opening her heart to the Lord and inviting him. But at the same time, she's very compassionate to her brother and her relatives. Even though she has been subjected to so much of abuse, they were wanting to get her married to someone whom she didn't want. So it was a serious abuse, but at the same time, she did whatever is necessary to get out of the situation, but at the same time she was compassionate to her brother, and she prayed and fell at the feet of the Lord and said, "You please don't kill him." And therefore the Lord then took a very mild stance and did this, you know, shaving, insulting part, which is tantamount to murdering somebody. For a Kshatriya, it's as good as death. But at the same time, it is not death. So it was because of the pleading of Rukmini that Rukmini's life was saved. So we can see that to become a devotee means to give up envy towards others. Para dukkha dukhi, para sukha sukhi. A devotee can never harbor malice towards anyone. No matter how many injustices person may be subjected to, but still he is willing to forgive. We can see in the lives of all great saintly people, like Jesus Christ, praying at the cross when he was being executed, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Such an amazing prayer, to pray like that. Why? Because a devotee knows the philosophy that whatever happens, happens because of his own karma. There is no such thing as injustice in the world. Sometimes we may hear these news and everything, so many people murdered and everything, and a devotee may feel sad, but his sadness is not in ignorance, his sadness is in knowledge. His compassion, like one devotee came to me and he said, "You know, Prabhuji, I just heard in Peshawar so many children were killed. How sad." So when a devotee expresses his compassion over some injustices happening, or apparent injustices happening to some people, he certainly feels compassion, and he feels that it should not have happened, but it should be in a Krishna conscious perspective, with the right knowledge. Understanding that ultimately whatever is happening because of one's own karma, is it not? If there was no bad karma, then why was he subjected to so much of suffering? So therefore, that understanding should be there. And so when something drastic happens in our lives, we don't go around criticizing people. We just accept the responsibility. You should think that, "Oh, it is just my own karma. However, I have done whatever is necessary to come out of this situation and forgive everybody and move ahead." And actually that is the real path of happiness, to forgive. Para dukkha dukhi, para sukha sukhi. That is the secret of happiness. Yadana kurute bhavam sarvabhute shvamangalam samadrishte tadapumsaha sarvaha sukhamayadishah. So a person who is non-envious, sarvabhute shvamangalam, one who never wishes ill of others, samadrishte sadapumsaha, one who is equal to everyone, who doesn't make any discrimination, "Oh, he's rich, he's poor, he's black, he's white," and all these kind of material designations, who overlooks all these things. Samadrishte tadapumsaha sarvaha sukhamaya disha. Such a person actually is happy in life. This is the secret of happiness. A devotee only can be happy, because only a devotee can become free from envy. And how can we become free from envy? When, as the Acharyas explained, when we glorify devotees, when we glorify others, we give glory to others. And we chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So that is the process. Cheto darpana marjanam. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is like a mirror. When you look into the mirror, you see yourself, "Oh, so much of decoration is still left, is it not? Oh, I have to put my tilak, I have to put this. Scene complete, so much I have to do, so much I have done." Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam is like a mirror where we see ourselves and we make the corrections, make the improvements, whatever is necessary to come up to the expected standard of being a proper devotee. So here in this verse it is explained, blinded by conceit, with their personal opulences, proud men offend others for the sake of such things as kingdom, land, wealth, women, honor and power. So, as I said previously, that everything is for these four things. Dollar, scholar, follower and glamour. Everybody wants these four things. Dollar, everybody wants to be a scholar, everybody wants follower and glamour. Means, you understood. So basically these are the four things, there are no other things. Everything comes in these four categories. And why does a person aspire for these things? And when does a person actually harm others for these things is out of conceit. Blinded by conceit. What is conceit? Dictionary meaning of conceit is to have excessive pride in oneself. That is the cause of offense. For this purpose, for these four things, caused because of offense, one harms others. Therefore, conceit is a cause of offense. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives wonderful pastimes, show that how great personalities have become victims of conceit. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura is asking this question to Maitreya. Is how is that I am hearing what transpired between Daksha and Shiva that led to a huge fight, which led to cursing and counter-cursing? Daksha means who is expert. Daksha is such an expert in the Shastras, he knows what is right, what is wrong. He is a Brahmin. He is the father of Sati, who is the most pure, most chaste girl. I mean, it takes good fruits come from good trees. So if he has given birth to such a pure daughter, how can such an offensive mentality come in a man like Daksha? And whom is he envying? Whom is he envious of? He is envious of Shiva. What does Shiva mean? Shiva means auspiciousness. One who is compassionate to everyone, one is equal to everyone. And how could such a civilized man as Daksha become envious of such a pure person as Lord Shiva? What is the mystery behind it? What transpired between them? And then the fourth canto explains, Maitreya Rishi now starts explaining what happened. So it was this conceit, basically. Excessive pride in one's birth. And Daksha was a Brahmin and he was having such an important position in the universal affairs as a controller, as a Prajapati. And it begins with Daksha and Vashishtha and Marichi, all these great controllers of the universe who come together to organize a yajna. And Brahma, Lord Shiva and all the universal controllers are sitting there in the assembly. And Daksha happens to arrive. And Brahma seated welcomes Daksha and orders him to take his seat. All the assembled guests rise from the seats to give respect to Daksha. Only two members of the assembly, Brahma and Lord Shiva, are seated. Daksha looks at Shiva and he takes offense. He is not taking offense against Brahma because Brahma is his father. So it is not an etiquette for Brahma to rise because the father never rises in front of the son. But Shiva, he should have risen from his seat. He should have given the respect due to me. Why didn't he rise? What is the reason? Simply because Shiva was his son-in-law. He was married to Parvati, his daughter, Sati. So, general social etiquette is that a son-in-law is subservient, he is subordinate to the father-in-law. So that is the etiquette. So just because of that insignificant transgression, in fact it was not even a transgression, because Shiva is in a much higher position of a god. And moreover, he is a devotee. Shastra says, Nimna Ganam Yatha Ganga Devanam Achyuto Yatha Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu Purananam Idam Yatha. Just as the Ganges is the topmost amongst rivers, and Lord Sri Krishna is the god of all gods, and Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees of Lord Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the best Purana amongst all Puranas, declaring Lord Shiva to be the best of devotees, certainly he deserves respect. He doesn't. It's not required that he gives respect to Daksha. But still Daksha, I am great. And as a result, he starts insulting, starts speaking ill words. Oh, you are, just see, your eyes are like a monkey. Just see how you are dressing yourself. Covered yourself with ash. You are unfit to be my son-in-law. But just on the request of Brahma, I gave my daughter to you in marriage. And all these blasphemous words against Shiva. And then, Shiva being a great Vaishnav, he's peaceful. He's not retaliating. But the disciples, the followers of Lord Shiva, they take offense. And they become very offended. And it's natural for a follower, because a devotee is humble when he is insulted, but he will not sit quiet when another devotee is insulted. That is also a very important thing. So it was natural for Nandi, the follower of Lord Shiva, to become offended. So immediately he cursed Daksha and all Daksha's followers, that you Brahmins. And then he cursed them all, saying that you will use the Vedas to fill your belly. Simply to fill your belly. And all other curses. And then the followers of Daksha cursed the followers of Lord Shiva, that you devotees of Lord Shiva will always be atheists, will always be doing rubbish activities and things like that. And there was cursing, counter cursing, and Shiva becomes very morose and he leaves that place. And knowing, understanding that, what is this? You know, this is quite unnecessary. So this whole thing transpired because of conceit. And then, if that was not enough, Daksha still couldn't forget that. And he again organized two big yajñas just to offend Lord Shiva. And he invited all the controllers of the universe. Everybody was invited except Lord Shiva. Now that's another way of offending somebody. If you don't like somebody, throw a party or throw some, have some occasion where you call everybody and don't call one person whom you don't like. That's enough. So Sati, seeing that all the people are going for this great occasion at her own father's place and she doesn't know about it, she requests Lord Shiva that I want to go and attend this function. Lord Shiva says, no, don't go. It's not advisable right now because your father is not, she has not invited you, not invited us. Why should you go? Sati is saying, no, it's not necessary. It's not necessary to have an invitation to go father's house, to go to the guru's house. So it's okay. I'm the daughter. Lord Shiva says, but he's disrespecting me. Wherever the husband is disrespected, wife should not go. So she was not obedient and she went despite being warned. And eventually she realized that Daksha was not even giving her any importance and in fact started criticizing Lord Shiva. So she became so disgusted that she committed suicide, jumped into the fire, created the fire. And that way she lost her life. And then Shiva comes there along with all his associates and beheads Daksha and puts a goat's head. Actually, Lord Shiva is the first surgeon to commit an head transplant. Now, we hear of doctors performing heart transplant, kidney transplant. But I think Lord Shiva is the first doctor who performed one of the doctors who performed this head transplant. And he did it not just once, but twice. One, he did it for his own son. Lord Ganesh chopped off his head and gave him an elephant's head and gave Daksha a goat's head. I went to Kedarnath. There is a Gauri Kund. That is the place where this occurred, when he chopped off the head of Lord Ganesha and put an elephant's head there. So anyway, such was the consequence of offense as a result of conceit. So conceit is such a dangerous thing that it affects evolved beings of the universe, learned people. It's not that Daksha was an ordinary man, he was a controller. In fact, all the rishis, somebody asked the question that how come these rishis are so pure, still they are in the material world. The answer is, even though they are pure, but even such people have a tinge of controllership, the desire to control, and that's why they are here. So it is difficult to become free from the desire to control, command, instruct people. And it comes with position and power. And it becomes a habit to receive adoration. We want people to come and ask permission before they do some things. And that becomes a habit. Therefore, we have to develop a habit of receiving instruction rather than developing a habit of giving instruction and receiving requests for things to be done. Because when you lose touch with that, then you know that's a problem. We can see other examples in the Shastras of Haridas Thakur and Ramchandra Khan in Benapur. So Ramchandra Khan, some people may think he was a Muslim, converted Muslim, but he was not. Khan is a title given by the Muslim government to somebody who is in government positions, Muslim government positions. And therefore Khan, Roy, Mahashay, these are the titles given to them. So that's what he was, very much a Hindu, and not just a Hindu, he was also a Brahmin. So in Benapol, Haridas Thakur was gaining popularity and he was receiving a lot of followers, adorations. News went to Ramchandra Khan, he became envious. And he decided to disturb the sadhana of Haridas Thakur. He thought that Haridas Thakur was a fake. You know, there are so many fake sadhus, babas, so many things you find in these newspapers, so many movies also coming up. It's not wrong to actually be alert, you know, and not be cheated by these fake babas. But actually, Haridas Thakur was a genuine sadhu. And Ramchandra Khan, not out of the genuine interest to find out whether he was real sadhu, but he actually had an envious attitude. And he desired to disturb his sadhana. So he arranged for a prostitute, paid her nicely, told her that you go and disturb her. This lady, she comes very, very beautiful. She comes in the middle of the night and Haridas Thakur is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So she comes, starts proposing to him, oh, you're so handsome, oh, you're so young, I'm so beautiful, let us enjoy. And Haridas Thakur says, and Haridas Thakur understands that she has come with this motivation. She has come to cheat me. She has come to deceive me. So again, a devotee is very intelligent. He does what is necessary. So he thinks she has come to cheat me, I will cheat her. And I will cheat and make her a devotee. So he says, oh yes, yes, certainly. I will enjoy with you. Why not? But just a few rounds left. Let me complete my prescribed number of rounds. In a few hours I will be done. Just sit here, attentively hear what I am doing, what I am chanting. And she sits and she is patiently, she is offering her obeisances to Tulsi and doing all those gestures which would probably provoke him and seduce him. And Haridas Thakur, having nothing to do with material lust, completely absorbed in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The whole night passes. And still nothing. Morning, sun rises and she says, "What happened? You're supposed to enjoy it." "Sorry, I'm sorry. I couldn't complete my prescribed number of rounds, but I promise you, you come today. Tonight will be the night." She was convinced, and she comes again that night, offers her obeisances to Tulsi, waits in the similar manner. She says, "Just a few hours and I'll be finished. Please hear attentively." And throughout the night she's hearing the holy names, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare." "You promised me." "I'm really sorry, you come again. Just one more night. I've taken a pledge to chant 192 rounds, 300,000 names every day. Somehow I just couldn't finish. But I assure you, tonight..." Who says devotees don't lie? And in fact, he was not lying. It was the truth actually. He actually thought he would finish. But he didn't actually. Nevertheless, even if he lies, nothing wrong. You know, see, like mothers may also lie to the children, you see. Mothers sometimes tell the children, "Have a laddu." And it is actually a medicine inside. So, cheating is not wrong. But when you do it for the right cause, then it is. Like once I was in Bhakti Park, in Sion, and one lady was asking this question. "Peace is so glorious, then why did the Lord instigate Arjuna to fight? Why didn't he speak about peace?" I said that, yes, of course peace was the first proposition, but they didn't accept it, therefore there was war. And nothing wrong with war. What's wrong enough with a fight? War is necessary sometimes. Give the example of say somebody breaks your windows and doors and enters into your house. Is that good? She says, "Obviously not." Then I said, "Suppose if your house is on fire and you are not able to get out, and somebody breaks your window and your doors and he enters inside to save you, is that good?" She said, "Oh yeah, that's right, that's good." I said, "Now breaking somebody's window or somebody's door and entering into the house, is that good or bad?" "Depends on the situation actually." "Depends on the situation." I said, "Yeah." So, nothing is actually good or bad. It all depends on how you apply it. So, devotees can also cheat. God can cheat. So, they are all his followers. Yeah. Krishna comes as Mohini Murthy, comes as Shankaracharya, just to cheat the people and bring them on the right path. So, finally, she was transformed. Hearing the holy names, she was transformed. But that's beside the point. But what happened as a result was, that was a great offense. That was a great offense to Haridas Thakur. And it was all because of the envy. And then Haridas Thakur, that lady, she surrenders to Haridas Thakur, becomes his disciple. And Haridas Thakur instructs her to shave her head and stay there in that ashram and chant Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur moves to Sapta Triveni, and he is invited at the house of Balaram Acharya, Yadunandan Acharya, who are the gurus of Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, who was the father of Raghunath Das Goswami. So Balaram Acharya was the spiritual master of these two people, and knowing that Haridas Thakur had appeared there in their city, they cordially welcomed him to their house as a chief guest, invited all the Vaishnavas, there were some other Jati Gosains also, and requested him to speak something about the holy names. So Haridas Thakur started, so all the other people also started saying, "Oh, holy names is so glorious. You are so glorious because your whole day, 22 hours a day, you are chanting Hare Krishna. We know that the chanting of the holy names gives liberation." And all those glories they were saying, but they were not the real benefit. So Haridas Thakur said, no, giving attainment of liberation by chanting of Hare Krishna is nothing but the fringe benefit. It's not the main benefit. Main benefit of chanting Hare Krishna is love of God. Evam ratasva priyanam kirtya jatanurago dhritachitta uchaihi hasat atho roditi rauti gayati unmadavan rityati lokabahya. There a person, when he develops the taste for the chanting of the holy names, he goes mad. And he sometimes laughs, he sometimes cries, he sometimes sings, he sometimes dances out of love of God. And this is the highest attainment of chanting Hare Krishna. Love of God is the highest main benefit of chanting. So when he spoke these words, there was this Gopal Chakravarti, one caste Brahmin. He didn't like it so much. He became envious of him. Conceit again, as we see here. And he offended him by saying that, "Oh, you are a Yavan. And we have heard that Yavanas will start speaking on the Vedas. How unfortunate. What do you know? How do you minimize the importance of the chanting? You say, or the importance of liberation. And you say that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, the fringe benefit is liberation." And all these things, he started arguing and he started insulting him. However, all the assembled Vaishnavas didn't like it. They drove him out of the assembly. And Gopal Chakravarti gets a serious disease as a result of that offense. We see that eventually what happens out of that offense. Gopal Chakravarti was again visited by, because of that offense, he again was visited by Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu visited his house and he was having in his so there was some again an offense to Lord Nityananda, and as a result you see that his offenses was multiplied and he got serious reactions for that. So we can see the result of conceit, that one becomes offensive to devotees and great souls. So we have to be very careful, and moreover, especially offenses and conceit is multiplied in groups. That's why Nietzsche, he says that insanity is rare amongst individuals. However, in groups, apex, parties, nations and communities, it is a rule. Insanity is rare amongst individuals, but in groups, nations, communities, it is a rule. So when people come together, somehow this conceit and some kind of madness may prevail, unless a group is led through proper principles. Because when people come together, there is energy. People come together, there is synergy. You see, 1 + 1 is not 2, 1 + 1 is 11. Great benefit in coming together. But when people come together and there is no higher principle, then there can be a problem. So as we can see that, you know, there are so many, today we see there's so much of advertisement, and the world at large is brainwashing people to show that how conceit and pride and all these things are very good. If you are proud, it's considered very nice. You're glamorous, you're confident. Being angry is considered very good. One preacher and disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he went to a school to give a class, to give some lectures on some topic, mind control, stress management, something. And he noticed that none of the students of the school smiled. So he called one of the boys and he said, "Why aren't you all smiling?" So the boy said, "It is not considered cool to smile." It's considered as a weakness. Humility and all these things are considered weakness, it seems. Even to smile. He said, then he was saying that we should practice smiling. If you don't know how to smile, go to the mirror, see your face and practice how it is to smile. It's a nice thing. Why should you not smile? So that kind of brainwashing is there going on at large. You know, I mean, recently there was some kind of a news article about some famous cricketer who came to India. And he was doing some endorsement for some car manufacturing company, some Ferrari or something. And the company gave him a gift of a Ferrari. So when he came with that car, which was worth in crores, he had to pay duty, customs. So the custom itself was going in probably crores. And he wrote an application to the government saying that this is a gift, so why I should be taxed for it? It's a gift, it's not my salary or something, it's not a earning or something. Something happened and then he wanted to waiver that customs duty. Though that cricketer was so wealthy that he was earning in crores practically, a multi-millionaire. Giving a few crores was like giving 100 rupees for him probably. That's besides the point whether he wanted to give or not give. But eventually the country awarded him Bharat Ratna. Not for that for the application which he made, but just general his good playing, good cricket and everything. On the other hand, we see that there are people like this material social worker, Kalyana Sundaram, one man, great social worker, who throughout his life he earned and donated his entire earnings for the welfare of the downtrodden. He worked overtime to earn money, which also he donated to the poor. The government did not recognize any of his charitable work. In America, some organization, it seems, recognized him and awarded him, gave him some 30 crore award money, which he brought to India and again gave the entire amount to the poor. Such social, charitable people. But still there was no mention of him. There's no award, no nothing. So you see that even in society, such kind of attitudes are being encouraged. That if you are, you see, famous, if you have this quality, that quality, if you are materialistic, then you are considered happening. But if you are humble and if you are having humility, then that's considered as a weakness. So therefore, it is very important to understand the right principles and remind ourselves through the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis, so that we understand what is the real value in life and not be carried away by the false propaganda of this world. And most importantly, when we chant Hare Krishna on a regular basis, attentively, you know, that will really bring about the purification to act on what we have actually or what we are actually hearing about all these qualities. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.